call the House Rules, Elections, and Public Affairs Committee to order. And we left off this morning working on a public hearing on Senate Bill 686, which we use as a vehicle to cite a prison. And I'm going to go back to the page one of the sign-up sheet, and if any of those folks are here, we'll get you up in order. We will have to recess for a few minutes and get a few more members of the committee here to deal with two other bills. It should not take very long to handle, and we'll get on with it again. So is Rich Gentis? Is he available? Come on up, Rich. So we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 686.
My name is Rich Gentis. I live on Garden Acres Road. Actually, I'm here to read a letter written by Melanie Pennington, the president of Citizens for Accountability in Prison Siting. She's out of town on her anniversary. So this was written by Melanie. Over 15 months ago, Melanie Pennington started CAPS by gathering her neighbors for a meeting in her barn to warn them that the city of Wilsonville, the Department of Corrections, and other agencies were working to put a prison in our rural neighborhood and redevelop it into an industrial sanctuary. Shortly thereafter, she was joined by residents in southern Tualatin, less than a mile from the Day Road site, and CAPS grew in strength and support. The last 15 months of her life have been consumed with neighborhood meetings, letters, phone calls, meetings with politicians, researching the problems of the site, learning to deal with the press, raising money, and testifying before legislative committees. She is deeply disappointed to not be able to provide testimony at this hearing. For over 6 months, she has had plans to celebrate her wedding anniversary away from town. Changing her plans at the last minute when this hearing was scheduled would have cost over $1,000 in airfare penalties. This battle has cost her so much, an additional $1,000 was out of the question. From the beginning, the founding tenet of CAPS was that neighbors surrounding the site deserved a fair and open process, and that the true nature of the site needed to be recognized. We knew the information circulating about this site was inaccurate and untrue. If only we could get the truth out, the conclusion would be obvious. Day Road is not a viable site for a prison. The press and the city of Wilsonville continue to refer to the site as the Wilsonville Industrial Site, when in fact it is not in Wilsonville or industrial. The site was represented as having community support, when in fact the community most impacted by the site vehemently opposes it. The site was rejected by the Department of Corrections in February, in part because it was too small for adequate safety to surrounding residences. It is now smaller, and the surrounding residences are supposed to feel safe. It was a year to the day on Melanie's fourth wedding anniversary that the governor chose to ignore the hundreds of letters, thousands of signatures, and documents, and documented flaws of the Day Road site provided by CAPS, and asked the legislature to convene for a special session to put the prison there. All during the 90-day evaluation, we were promised by the governor's office that the review was not a siting process, and if the site was determined feasible, a siting process would be invoked. There has still been no process, and certainly a request for a special session was not a siting process. The supporters of CAPS grew stronger in the face of this adversity, and finally were given some due process when the Senate Special Committee on Prison Siting was formed. Even though this committee had a predisposition to select Day Road, they listened to our concerns and issues and concluded that Day Road was not suitable. Later, both chambers of the legislature agreed in defeating the minority report to Senate Bill 3, yet somehow Day Road is still considered a solution to this problem. We have shown video of the entrance to the site 4 feet underwater. We have documented existence of a floodplain on the site and hired a water expert to refute the DOC's solution to the flooding. Our legal counsel has reviewed all the legislative attempts to site at Bay Road and found serious flaws in each. The residents on the site who will lose their homes have testified. We have provided the DOC and the governor's office with 1,500 signatures on a petition opposed to the Bay Road site. Our members have sent hundreds, even thousands of letters in opposition to the site, yet it is still an option in some people's minds. The people of Bay Road and Tualatin deserve better. The people of Oregon deserve better. This is a big state with lots of land. We should not settle for a prison site for the simple reason that it is not damaged. Sincerely, Melanie Pennington.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any questions? Many for Mr. Jim. Thank you for coming today. I appreciate your patience with our delayed start today. Clara Kylehorn. And then I'll call Pam Leach after Clara's finished.
Chairman, I'm Sarah Kielhorn, 24970 Garden Acres Road, and that's Sherwood, and I live one block from the site. I understand prisons were not to be put where they are not wanted, if there are places that do. The neighbors around Bay Road site do not want the prison. There are places that do and are a lot cheaper, and people do not have to be kicked off their property. They keep saying they want it in Wilsonville, so let them have it in their town, not ours. Bay Road is not in Wilsonville. Our address is Sherwood, and we are not industrial. It's a greedy town to infringe on their neighbors so they can get their water paid for and not to give up any of their land for it. You'll notice that everyone that wants it at Bay Road are businesses or people who plan to sell their property. Thank you.
Thank you. Pam Leach available. Terry Withers.
Chair Simmons, members of the committee, my name is Terry Withers. I'm the president of Oregonians for Responsible Prison Siting. It has been our organization that has been fighting the damage siting for, since early 1997. We got to this point, and I have some written testimony, but it's mainly been repeated, so I'd like to just respond to a few things that I've heard here today so that I could just kind of clear a couple of things up, at least from our perspective. But I did want to point out that the reason that I think we have continued to come back to this siting decision is because an error was made in the process that preceded this process. And I think that 89 people, in fact, in this building agree that damage was a poor selection, and they voted that way when Senate Bill 3 was passed on both sides. Last session, we passed two other bills, Senate Bills 541 and 397, which called for a buffer between these facilities and schools. That took a lot of hard work to get those bills passed. Of course, both of them were vetoed. And we find ourselves back here again trying to find a solution to a mistaken choice. The siting process that we worked under, I think, had perhaps some good intentions when it started. However, we used essentially the same siting process that we used in 1989 to site the Ontario facility, and it was a super siting process. Now, Governor Roberts, as some of you may not know, commissioned a investigative group to look into prison siting. in about 1994, I believe it was. And they had about four recommendations. Three of them received some degree of commendation from the governor. There was one method that did not, and that method was supersiding. They said it was the most expensive, drawn-out process that they could choose. And yet we did it anyway. And we didn't do it to site one facility, and we didn't do it just to, you know, sort of get past the land use technicalities that we might otherwise run afoul of when trying to site a facility like that. We used it to site a half dozen facilities, most of which have not been constructed and are not under construction. And an error got made in this particular case. We picked Damish in a because it was a state-owned facility. We didn't think about the agreements that had been made by the state to develop that property in another way. And the problem is, if we can't get to a solution, we continue to find ourselves right back at that same decision. The Day Road site, as you know, was offered as a solution when the emergency board funded this facility a year and a half ago. And that solution was something that interested the leadership of both sides of this body, as well as the governor. Again, at that point, not a lot was known about the Day Road site, but an investigation more thorough than probably any other site that we cited ensued, and eventually that site was recognized as a reasonable alternative. I talked about the agreement that has existed between the state and the city of Wilsonville, Metro, Oregon Department of Transportation, DAF, for the development of the urban village at the damaged site. This is a critically needed part of Wilsonville. And if a prison gets sited there, that is just not going to happen. If this doesn't work, and for anybody who is familiar with Wilsonville, I know Representative Devlin's quite familiar, it's going to be a real problem for us if a prison gets built on that site. Our organization has continued to stand by a principle, and that is that we need to separate these facilities from schools because it represents a land use some kind of a land use guideline to use for siting these facilities. That the supersiting bill did not specifically address. Now, it doesn't mean that it wasn't thought of, because it was. Back when the supersiting bill was in committee, one of the committee members asked if we needed to provide some kind of protection. And the Department of Corrections said, no, we don't need to do that because we don't site in residential areas, we don't site in towns, we site in rural areas, and we're near farmers. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's essentially what was said. Once damage got picked, we had a public hearing. It lasted 3 hours. That was the process for the damage site. I was there at the hearing. It was 57 to nothing. There wasn't one person, not one government official, no one in that area that agreed that the damage site was acceptable. And I know that we're here to talk about the Day Road amendments, and I intend to do that for just a brief moment or two. But I did want to provide some context also for you committee members who have not been here throughout this process to be able to understand where our organization comes from. We established a guideline, and we have stuck to it. We have supported sites that met our criteria, and we've rejected sites that didn't. We asked that sites be found. The Malala site that you talked about earlier, that came, I don't know exactly where it first came from, Representative Beyer, but it was something that was identified as some kind of a site that could be used for a prison facility. I don't recall particularly what our position was on that site, but we had a list of about 15 sites generated that we paid for to have done, and we rejected about half of them because they didn't meet our criteria. Some of them were pretty nice-looking places, probably would have been a decent prison facility site, but not to us, because we felt that there needed to be some objective criteria used to protect residential areas, schools, etc. Thus, we have worked hard to tie up the damaged site for 2.5 years. We will continue to make every effort that we can to make sure that that continues, because we do know that it was an error. And we are currently before the Court of Appeals on that issue. Some remarks were made about condemnation, and I wanted to make sure that everybody understands that if the damaged site is picked, we have condemnation. If the day road site is picked, we have condemnation. One of them is for a road. The other one is for part of the site. But in either event, we have that to deal with at both sites.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Rivers.
Thank you. Could I ask a question?
Sure.
On the Court of Appeals case, could you just give, and I'm sorry I missed this morning's discussion. I don't know if we covered that ground. Can you just give us a little background about the case and what it is here?
Well, our case surrounded the funding of the Representative Edwards, Chair Simmons. It surrounded the funding of the facility that was approved by the Emergency Board in January of 98. And we filed our lawsuit based on our understanding of the Constitution that the Emergency Board didn't have the authority to make that appropriation. We ended up in court on a summary judgment motion and instead had a stipulated fact trial that just lasted that one half day or three quarters of a day. And the judge found in favor of the state, but also in his opinion asked a number of questions and or at least raised a number of questions, and that's what our appeal is about.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow on. Do you have an anticipated as one can ever guess what the court will ever make a judgment, do you have any idea when was that? I guess when did you appeal the decision?
Chair Simmons, Representative Edwards, I believe early this year. I don't have a date for you, but the trial occurred in December, and I think and our appeal.
It's in Devon.
Yeah.
Approximately April 1st of 1998.
Thank you.
Great. Mr. Manning.
And just while we're pausing here for a moment, I think I should observe that back in 1995 and in earlier sessions when we've discussed supersiding legislation for prisons, while the position mentioned has been taken, the contrary view has also been expressed and documented. That is that if you use the traditional land use process, it's not conducive to siting a state prison facility because they are fairly unique and unusual. They're not your standard industrial site or whatever else, and that a supersiting process can be custom designed to try to better effectuate the siting. There's always going to be the issue in that process, though, of how much process there is as opposed to how much siting there is in terms of where you go with it. I just thought it's important to mention for the record that there was that discussion, and the other concern was, though, that any place that was chosen would be fairly unique. And again, as we know from the discussion we've had the last few months, no one place is a natural place to place a prison, and that's part of the difficulty which is facing us. I just thought it was important to clarify that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Chair Simmons, if I could just respond to that real quickly. I think that that's absolutely right, Representative Mannix. However, in this case, and I think if you're citing one facility, or if you have time to go through the process in a more deliberative manner, I think that that can be a very effective tool. I'm sure it helped in citing the Ontario facility in 89 because we did it under the same citing statute. It's almost verbatim. And I think you use the supersiding statute to get around the technicalities of the land use law, not to avoid the intent of the land use law, which is to get compatible uses somewhat adjacent to each other. And I think had it been used that way in this case, I think that might be something that would have produced a better result. It's just that on this particular site, we didn't just use the citing statute to avoid the technicality. We also did it to avoid the actual intent And that was my point.
Listen a minute.
I think your point is well taken. I think we could add that the governor has added a qualification that's nowhere in the superseding statute, which has to do with closeness to the metropolitan area of Portland. And my recollection is nothing in the statute that says that. That's just an observation on my part. Thank you.
Please conclude, Jerry.
Yes.
Representative Barr had a question.
If you'd like to conclude before I ask a question, that's fine.
Go ahead.
Good to see you. We worked together last session. I wasn't in this position, though. Question I have is, we worked last session on several bills to Senator Miller and at that point Representative Starr. Now, Senator Starr worked through the process to help direct where some prisons were sited. Senator Miller had a bill related to distances between some residential areas and school areas. Do you remember, was that 1 mile or 2 miles that his bill? Remember his bill last session?
Yes. It started out in 3 miles and 2 miles. I'm sorry, Chair Simmons, Representative Starr. It started out as a 3 mile and 2 mile buffer, but there was not support within the legislature for those kinds of distances, and so it eventually became just a 1 mile.
Has your group kind of incorporated that 1 mile as your kind of your judge as you, you know, sifted through sites and whatnot?
That's what we did fairly early on. We established what we thought would be an acceptable, acceptable to the legislature, actually, rule. And we thought, well, if 90 people think that that's the way to go, then that is sounds like a reasonable proposition to us. And that's what we did use. And all the sites that we've looked at, we've used that criteria.
So the question that I have is from the information that we've been provided on the J. Road site, there are subdivisions within a mile. The Twalton High School, I mean, just over a mile distance from the Day Road facility. Is that information not accurate that we have for us? Or because of the unique situation that you found yourselves in and the uniqueness of the Dammer site and the availability of the Day Road site that you qualified your stand on that issue?
Chair Simmons, Representative Starr, endeavored to establish a criteria that would be something that could work in this area. And I don't know what the exact distances are, but what we understood to be our criteria was that a substantial buffer of some kind would be available to the residential areas of the schools.
And necessarily a strict 1 mile.
No, I don't know, and I don't think you folks would have interpreted that way. We had a difficult time establishing something that could be relatively objective, and if the mile between the Day Road site and the south end of Tualatin was a flat 1 mile, clear shot, just looking at it, bright light shining and the whole works, I don't think we'd have supported the site. But it isn't that way. It's heavily wooded. It's there's topography, et cetera. I know that Tualatin High School is 1.2 miles of school. Thing was obviously was really our criteria. I know Senator Miller had a residential neighborhood criteria also in that bill, but we were more interested in the school criteria. Frankly, that was our first because the damaged site is adjacent to schools and in Wilsonville, and that's how we really got our legs under us as an organization. And,
well, Chair,
go ahead.
I understand the situation you're in. We worked together last session, and the one thing that I've really appreciated about Senator Miller is his consistency on this issue. You know, from day one, both sides aren't appropriate for a prison. And it's unfortunate that we have somebody executive in this building here that one person didn't agree with the solution to this problem, and we have to deal with it again at this stage.
Representative Simmons, Chair Simmons, Representative Starr, we appreciate that also. That's not lost on any of us. We, however, are in Wilsonville. We have had to endure this now for 2.5 years. And this has gone on a long time. Our organization has raised a lot of money and spent a lot of money on lawyers and et cetera, just trying to slow the process down so that it didn't get away from us. And frankly, it's time for some relief. Yes, the day roadside meets our criteria acceptable. We have supported it from the moment it was identified because it met our criteria. And when we went and looked at the site, we made that determination. And have we taken heat over it? Sure. Yeah, we have. But we thought if we can't be consistent about this, then we probably are going to have real trouble convincing any of you people to be consistent about it. And
thank you.
So.
Let's see, Devlin.
One quick question. Has it been represented to you that this body would need to take action on Representative Mannix's version of this bill by June 30th, or citing it damage would be imminent?
I don't believe that's ever been our understanding, Representative Devlin. No, no.
Thank you. For the questions for this witness?
Let me ask you, go back to Superside, do you have a personal opinion about whether that law should be changed?
I believe...
After this experience?
I believe it should be repealed. I don't think there's any question but that to cite a facility that way, especially after after you watch how the federal government does it and you watch how so many other states do it, they might use a supersiding, again, to avoid technicalities, but I wouldn't use it to just go out and plop down a half dozen sites throughout Oregon. I wouldn't do it, based on my experience.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to recess the public hearing on 686 for a few minutes. We will take us to House Bill 3055, open a work session. 3055. We have amendments to that. We talked about yesterday.
Mr. Chair, didn't we adopt amendments yesterday?
I think we did adopt amendments yesterday.
There are moved amended bills to the floor of the two past recommendations.
Okay, colleagues, I believe that is correct. We amended the amendments into the bill yesterday in House Bill 3055. And we have a motion continuing to move the bill, House 35, to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Okay.
During discussion? Who called the roll, Kevin?
President Byer?
Aye.
President Devlin?
Aye.
President Edwards?
Aye.
President Vargas?
Excuse.
President Maddox?
Aye.
President Slaughter?
Aye.
Chair Smith?
Aye. And House Bill 3055 goes before the House for due pass recommendation. Representative Mannix, that's pay the bill.
All right, thank you.
And that concludes the work session on House Bill 3055, and we will now open a work session on Senate Bill 1089. We have some desk two amendments for us today. Let's get a
summary first.
Yeah, let's get a summary of the bill.
Pardon me?
You were part of this in another committee, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Okay. I'm happy to have you talk about it. Go ahead, Representative Byer.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 1089 is a bill dealing with dry cleaning facilities. Current law says that dry cleaning facilities are called KAC, so much per gallon on PERC, which is the chemical they use in the dry cleaning facility, and also a so much per store fee. It is designed to generate a fund to clean up dry cleaning facilities when they have environmental damage. Now, the bill went to the floor one time. It came back because of there's some questions unanswered in the original hearing on the bill. It is now in front of us. It would ask two amendments, and if the chair is able to motion, I would move the dash A2 amendments into the bill.
And the dash A2 amendments, I believe, were agreed upon from the state there. Drug Association.
Yep.
And there were a number of work groups, the DEQ and others involved in working out these dash O2 amendments.
That's what I understand.
Okay. Okay. All on board then. We have a motion then to move the. Do you have a question for
Representative Byer? And I apologize if I didn't hit a question. What is a restore? Yeah, restore?
Restore?
Look on line.
Restore. Oh, is that?
Right. Are we inserting there, or are we?
I think only the part inside the quotation marks.
Okay.
Outside the quotation marks is left off.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm, like on line 18, are we restoring that whole line, or just the word dry?
No, just up to the word store. So the line that we see, where we see facility engaged in dry cleaning operations only as a dry store, period.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's be frank.
This is an overview of the supervisor who worked with Bill and his committee previously, and then at the floor, and then back here again. So we have a motion pending to move the dash A to amendments from Representative Beyer. There's further discussion on the A to amendment. Any objections to the adoption of the A to amendment? Hearing none, so ordered.
I move the bill as amended.
Thank you, Representative Beyer. Positive motion to move the A to amendments to the floor of the House with a B-pass recommendation as amended by the A2, so Senate Bill 1089. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Mr. Wells, please call the roll.
Representative Beyer?
Aye.
Representative Kemmer?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Gardner?
Excuse.
Representative
Maddox?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
Aye.
Harrison?
Aye. And motion to move Senate Bill 1089 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation as amended carries. And we need a carrier. You want to carry the bill, Representative Barr?
I do feel.
Great. Representative Barr will be the carrier of the bill on the floor of the House, and we'll conclude the work. Senate Bill 1089. And we'll go back now to our public hearing on Senate Bill 686. We open that, and we are David Luke.
Chair Simmons, members of the committee, my name is David Lake. I reside at 10884 Southwest Roland in Wilsonville. I'm a co-founder of Oregonians for Responsible Prison Siting, and I will submit written testimony and only hit a few highlight points that I think need some clarification. In January of 1997, Oregonians for Responsible Prison Siting was founded on the premise that schools and prisons do not belong next to each other. That was not a criteria that we just pulled out of the air. That was criteria that was suggested by the Department of Corrections as the super siting legislation was passed. It was also incorporated into Senate Bill 541, which passed both the Senate and the House in the last session, and which was ultimately vetoed by Governor Kitzhaber. Also, in a survey taken in January of 1998, a statistically significant survey of Oregonians conducted by More Information Services, the question was asked if Oregonians felt that prison should be sited next to schools if other property is available, and over 90% responded no. This is not a criteria that we developed on our own. It's one that many in the state of Oregon have suggested and supported. We have adhered to that principle since the beginning of this organization. You will recall, perhaps some of you, the language in Senate Bill 541, which also talked about distances from neighborhoods. And it has been suggested earlier that perhaps we strayed from that criteria, and I want to suggest from you that we did not. The language in that bill allowed for several instances when that language could be waived, and the language outlined that for specific items of topography, or should a city desire to have the facility and have that criteria waived. We've been led to believe throughout this process that a freeway is planned as a buffer that could potentially buffer this prison facility from neighborhoods. In fact, the city of Tualatin and others have been in this house, this body, this session, talking about the potential future of that freeway. Now, whether it happens or not remains to be seen, but we've been led to believe that that could go through there and serve as a potential buffer. We evaluated that very seriously before we took the stance in supporting the Day Road site, and we have adhered to our principles since the beginning of this battle. I wish also to correct a couple of other misperceptions. First of all, the Day Road site was not evaluated in a few hours.
as has previously been represented. It was selected in a few hours, but it has been evaluated over a period of months. And many people have come to the conclusion that it is an acceptable site for a prison. The result of this process, however, has given people both who strongly support it as well those who strongly oppose it. I'd like to point out to you that there is virtually no support for the damaged site. You don't have anybody sitting before you today, so far, that has promoted the damaged site. And we understand the opposition that we hear from the folks that live around that. We understand that completely, and we understand how they feel. The reasons for our support for this site, however, are that it's more than 1 mile distant from a school. It has access to a major thoroughfare. It has industrial neighbors. It is potentially buffered, but there's a potential buffer into the Tualatin residence by a planned freeway extension. Some of you, some who have testified before you today would have you believe that the value of resident opinion, it should be greater than that of businesses. Some have suggested that business opinion is merely self-serving, and therefore that shouldn't be considered in making this decision. I suggest, however, that good public policy planning takes and weighs carefully both business perspectives as well as resident perspectives. Some have suggested that we support the Day Road site merely because it's an alternative to damage. I suggest that it might be presumptuous on the part of some to put words in our mouth. We suggest we support the Day Road site for the reasons previously cited, and I appreciate your attention to this matter.
Thank you. You mentioned that there was not virtually no support or no one supporting the damage site. However, the governor did cite the president at damage as one major supporter.
Indeed.
And two, the siting authority had damage as one of the finalists, you know, presented to the governor. So apparently the siting authority at some point thought the damage was an appropriate site for the prison. My understanding is the Department of Corrections worked with the siting authority, and I wouldn't speak for the Department of Corrections. Apparently, they see that the damage facility would work for prison as well.
You are correct. Chair Simmons and Representative Starr, those parties did and continue today to support the damaged site. My point, however, is that they are the only ones who have been vocal about that. And today we've not heard any support. None of them have yet testified, but we've not heard any support for the damaged site as a prison site. No businesses, no residents, no cities.
Representative Devlin.
Just want to comment on one thing. This reference is often made to a freeway connection between I-5 and 99W. It is true it's in a planning document, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be built. Current estimates on it are about $150 to $160 million. It's one of two facilities in the state that would be eligible to be built as a tollway. There's nobody coming forward wanting to put the private investments that would make it possible as a tollway. We have problems in the state funding $5 million improvements to interchanges. I don't know when we'll have $160 million to build a connection between I-5 and 99W.
Chair Simmons, if I may respond, Representative Devlin, we appreciate that and we understand that. However, as we think about the 100-year future of this potential prison, if that has the potential of being built as it has been so designated on planning documents and even in discussions during this legislative session, that would serve the purpose that we have outlined.
Okay, further questions? Mr. Lake, before you head off, in calls to my office, as tabulated by my staff, so far there have been 179 calls supporting the siting at Bay Road and 286 supporting the siting at Damage.
Supporting the site at Damage?
That's how it's been interpreted by my staff, yes. People are calling and emails. Number.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair? Let me ask you something, and I haven't had a chance to ask others who are supporting of Day Road, but do you believe in the principle the governor has that the metropolitan area needs to have this prison?
I'll answer that
Chair Simmons, Representative Edwards, I'll answer that as an individual rather than as a representative or I do not believe in that principle.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Byron.
Hey, Mr. Chair. In your response to Representative Starr's question, when he asked the statement that people have supported damage, did you indicate the governor still supports damage or he does not support damage?
Chair Simmons, Representative Byer, everything I have heard to date leads me to believe that he will continue to proceed with damage if no other alternative is offered to him. Yes, he is interested in damage and he will vote.
Chair, one more then?
Mm-hmm.
There has been an alternative offered to him and he vetoed that bill.
Representative Simmons, or Chair Simmons, Representative Byer, are you referring to the Umatilla site?
Yes,
because he's also adhering to the principle that Representative Edwards discussed, which he apparently feels strongly about.
Any Thank you. Kathy Wright.
Chair Simmons and members of the committee. My name is Kathy Rice and I live in Wilsonville. I'm here today to encourage you to pass and forward Senate Bill 686 with amendments to cite the Women's Prison and Intake Center at Day Road to be voted on by the full legislature. It is time that this prison fighting issue is resolved. There are many reasons I believe the Day Road site is better for the Women's Prison and Intake Center, but the most important one to me is that the Day Road site is over a mile from the nearest school. The damage site is adjacent to the Christofori School, a private school, and within sight and sound of Wilsonville's Wood Middle School and the soon-to-be-constructed Bloomsbury Elementary School. It is wrong to put a prison in the heart of this community's educational, and residential area. Excuse me, I'm nervous. The Day Road site is located in the North Wilsonville area. This area contains some housing but is full of businesses, and that would be compatible with the prison. Much of the area is already zoned for industrial growth, and many of the existing businesses welcome the prison here. You heard from some of them this morning. Citizens of Wilsonville are willing to host a prison at Day Road because it deserves the long-term viability of our community and does not directly impact any other city. I encourage you to approve the amendments to Senate Bill 686 and forward this bill for a full vote by the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming out today. I appreciate you taking the time to do that. Any questions? Kathy Rice. Thank you, Kathy. I understand that Mr. David Miller would like to come up. He has an obligation. He needs to be out of the building before too long. Mr. Miller, try to be as concise as you can and give us your most important points. And as you've heard other things that you agree with, just you might indicate you support other testimony or heard before.
Well, I'd like to say my name is Dave Miller and thank you for your time. I live at 10900 Southwest Clay Street, which is right on the Day Road site. I've had to work today, and I have to go back to work later, but I was listening on the whoever thought of putting up the audio site on the legislative webpage was a great idea. I was listening in, came in when John Cortez was giving his testimony, and he plays it very low-key and plays it like if he's some average citizen, you know, willing to do a civic duty and lose money on property. Well, Mr. Scorquez bought the two pieces of property for a total property price of like $900,000. The value under the county records for those two pieces of property total up to almost $1.7 million. And quite often, you know from the county records, since they have to go through a cycle of like I think it's every 5 years to take and appraise the properties and adjust the tax roll, quite often in a fast-growing market, those prices are wrong. So Mr. Cortez, with this deal, would make a big windfall of almost 100% profit from the sale of this property. There's other hidden costs in this. like with the Rumgays. The Rumgays, even though you may buy their property and it's on agricultural deferral, the market value is considerably higher than what the tax listed value is. And they, being in the nursery business, they have about $1 million worth of nursery stock there. I mean, the state would have to purchase that if they ended up condemning their land, because you have to make concessions for businesses and their losses. They may even be able to take in claim losses, because the thing is a lot of nursery stock takes anywhere from 2 to 3 years before it's ready for the market, and they could be able to claim some of those losses business. Even if they did replace the property, they would have to take time to regrow the stock, stock that they have on the property now. East Oregonian, back May 1st, had an interview about the DOC taking and integrating the women's prisons into Ontario. And according to their articles and interviews from staff, everything's going quite well. And, you know, people have been concerned about, you know, the different prisoners and being close to their families and stuff. But, you know, if that's the case, why should we, you know, have the prison in one place in the state? Why not have smaller, you know, facilities, and, you know, so that, you know, the people that do go to prison, their families that live in Eastern Oregon and other parts of the state can benefit from having their family close. The other thing, too, is that in the Tri-County area, Multnomah County produces most of the prisoners. I think somewhere between 60 to 70% of the prisoners that come from the Tri-County area. You know, if you're talking about cost savings, if anything, it should go with the new Multnomah County Jail, the intake center, because you'd have increased security, because you wouldn't have transportation costs until they're ready to go to their ultimate destination. The women's prison could be accommodated any place, you know, on port property or whatever, but Q-Tub and the other senators have found an alternative, and they've been working hard, and they've reviewed, you know, the things. There's cost savings, and people don't lose their homes. But in ending, what I'd have to say, though, is the most important thing is that I'd have to ask a question of it, any of you guys, is that if you still, I mean, I know I have to thank some of you people that have supported us in saying that Day Road is not our appropriate site, but, you know, those people who think Day Road is the appropriate site, I'd have to ask you that if you think it's appropriate, why don't you donate your own homes to Kitzdauber and take in, betray your neighbors in your community? I mean, I don't want to leave my home, and I know you guys want to give up your home for a prison. Why should I have to give up my home? So that's all I have to really say.
Question, Mr. Miller, Mr. Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, just so the committee understands, Mr. Miller, you're one of the property owners on Bay Road, and you're one of the property owners that has said that you'll refuse to sell.
Yes.
And you would be condemned.
Yes, I would.
Your family, actually.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Good question, Mr. Edwards.
I appreciate the testimony today, particularly the Internet reference. I think, personally, that's been a great advent in this building, and it lets people hear exactly what we're doing in real time.
They also archive it, so you can listen to previous testimonies and committees and stuff, too. So
I appreciate that input, I guess.
I wish they would publicize it more so more people would be involved, because this gives an opportunity for more people to listen to what's going on down in Salem and be more involved in the process.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Miller.
Okay, thank you.
Arnie Chase. Okay. Okay, we'll get back to him then. Renee Canna. I wasn't sure if you were heading out the door or coming over here.
I don't have to do either. I just realized I still have 25 copies and I don't. So, yeah, this is what I have. Jill Scott here, too. So it's a good timing, I guess. My name is Renee Cannon, and I'm very happy to be here today. This is
my first time having to testify this session, and I haven't gotten a chance to do this or say this to any of the elected officials, but I want to thank you for the services you provide to the citizens of Oregon. Although I don't always agree with everything that goes on here, I have a great appreciation and respect for the amount of volunteer effort and time that you put in making your decisions. And my position is really in opposition to damage. I want to try and persuade you that the damage site is the worst possible place in the correction facility. From 1994 through 1998, I assisted Metro Councilor Don Morissette with his Metro assignments. And although many issues, many of the issues was this particular piece of land. During the hearings held at Metro concerning the Day Road, better known as Urban Reserve 43, the testimony from jurisdictions I heard was not opposed to the inclusion of this land as an urban reserve. To the best of my knowledge, the appeal period for this reserve has passed, and it is available for inclusion in the urban growth boundary by the Metro Council. As I remember this morning, Representative Devlin questioned the status of this area, and I believe that it is not formally been included inside the UGB, but is not a challenged reserve. So as a non-challenged reserve, this would be one of the first reserves to be included in the boundary expansion, according to the last Metro procedure I was aware of. To get back to my statement that of damage is the worst possible choice, the site has been planned as an urban village, and this is one of the concepts that are encouraged by Wilsonville, the other regional local jurisdictions, and the Metro Council. The general idea is to build higher density or high density living, attached housing, and some detached housing on small home sites. At the same time, develop parks, open spaces, and trails to make the density more palatable. This is one of the planning tools being used to save farm and forest land. And I have to tell you that I am not a high density advocate, but when the majority of a group says that that's the way you need to go, then I think that you have to try and make the best out of it. And I think by using the damaged site as a prison site, we will lose much more than we will gain. The damaged site is targeted for about 2,500 housing units. That means about 6,200 people living there. As it has been stated, that jobs housing balance in Wilsonville is heavy in jobs and light in housing. Using damage as a prison site will exacerbate the housing jobs balance. The old adage, when you get lemons, make lemonade, is appropriate analogy for the prison siting at Day Road. The industrial uses currently active at Day Road do not produce a large number of on-site jobs. The job bases in Wilsonville currently includes many large companies, including Metagraphic, Cisco, InFocus, Tektronix, Hollywood Video, corporate headquarters, and several others I can't remember at the moment. My view of the industrial use for the Day Road site is for warehouse, trucking, waste disposal, which is one of the current uses, and more non-campus type industry. These uses seem to me to be compatible with the prison. I urge you to send this legislation to the floor. I understand many on this committee do not support the Day Road option for many personal and political reasons. However, I believe there's a majority of your colleagues who have been educated on the Day Road site since the last vote that was sent to the governor. I believe if you send this to the floor, it will pass. Please do not delay this decision any longer. Let both chambers vote on this measure. And thank you for your attention. One other thing that I wanted to clarify was I believe Mayor Ogden stated that Washington County was opposed to this Day Road siting, and I have spoken with one of the commissioners, and the position that's being held by Washington County is that if the prison is sited at Day Road, their concern is that adequate infrastructure be done by the applicant, which would be the Department of Corrections, so that they would not be responsible for that. and they want a place at the table when those decisions are made.
Any questions? Yes, Representative Starr.
Thank you. Question I have is, we had testimony this morning that there's a new alternative site that's been found or been at least discussed at the beginning stages. Would you support the siting of that? So it's 160 acres. It's a Donald, right off the freeway, Donald exit. It would accomplish what you're looking at here, keeping the siting away from Damas. Would you find support there? And would that take care of your concerns about Damas?
It might. I don't know if, I don't know enough about that site. If there's...
If the site turns out to be one that we can set a prison on, you'd support... Your main testimony, it seems to me, is you're opposed to the site in Damas. And at this point, it looks like the day road's the only alternative, but I'm saying if we have another alternative, you're not necessarily saying that the only site that would work is day road.
In my opinion, no, it is not the only site that would work, but it's the only site that... that I have been made aware of that meets the criteria, and there seems to be some willingness from the local jurisdiction to handle it. And I don't know who Donald's local jurisdiction is. I think they're a locality, not a city.
I don't think they're incorporated.
Yeah.
If I can just follow up on that, you made a statement there that you have local support at the Day Road site, and I don't want to be argumentative. I would just say that that's not. You know, we have two groups. We have one group that supports, and we have one group that doesn't. We have City of Fulton that opposes, and so it's to say that it has support. It's true, but it also has significant opposition, so it's just...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stark, what I was trying to say to you is that through the metro process, there was all the local jurisdictions that sat on impact. Wasn't just the difference between Wilsonville and Tualatin. But it was all of the cities that weighed in on the reserves. I didn't hear opposition from other local jurisdictions. I do recall that Tualatin was vigorous about their opposition. But what I'm saying is other jurisdictions were involved in the whole decision process for that.
I don't want to just sit around with that. Very I would just say that the two places that have the mostly directly impacted have different opinions on this thing.
Yeah, and Washington County, of course, is going to have an impact on that, and they are not opposed.
Well, if I can, I have to answer that, Mr. Chair. They're not in support either. They haven't passed a resolution yet. My understanding is, at this point, they're neutral. If it gets there, they want to be able to say, we want this and this and this done, but if it's not there, they're not, you know, they're not out there. I mean, I don't have any Washington County folks, government folks in the audience saying, please put the prison on Day Road because they're not.
I would agree with that, but I'm saying that they don't oppose it. So I guess the neutral position is probably fair.
Representative Barr, if you would like, I will bring Commissioner Roy Rogers and see what his position is since he represents the area.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm sorry, Representative Ellen, yes. it was the whole, the commission as a whole gave that.
Yeah. Just for clarification here, sure. For the record, Donald is incorporated, but the site that Senator Q said this has to be considered is neither in Donald nor Aurora. It's an unincorporated site.
Okay. I don't know where that is.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Arnie Chase, Mr. Chase, please come forward. My colleagues are here commenting that we have only Democrats here in attendance in the committee right now, and it's our chance to take control, but I'm going to resist the temptation.
I still don't have a form.
Yeah, but we can take testimony. Mr. Chase, please proceed. Take your name.
Okay. Vice Chairman Devlin and me, representatives. My name is Ike Chase. I live in West Wilsonville. And the reason I'm here to testify is to give you some facts on why the damaged property is not a good choice for a co-gender intake center, a women's prison. And the main major fact is that it's very close to schools, as you've heard before, 600 yards from Brookwood Middle School, which serves the whole Wilsonville area, and a future middle school, elementary school, will be located right next to Wood. Also, Christopher School is abuts the damaged property, so that's one point. Their point is that the damaged property also abuts a dense residential neighborhood of in excess of 200 homes. And my third point is the transportation of prisoners most likely will be down Wilsonville Road. And that path from I-5 to Damish winds through Wilsonville, passing by 70 residences. And a good share of those residences have children who would be playing next to that path where the prisoners would be transported. Also, along Wilsonville Road, there is a bike path which connects the west side of Wilsonville to the Central Business District of Wilsonville. And there are in excess of 1,200 homes, residences, that children potentially would be going down that bike path, walking, skating, and riding their bikes along the same path as where prisoners would be transported. So those would be the points I'd like to make tonight, today. Okay.
Mr. Chase, any questions for Mr. Chase? Hearing none, thank you very much. Gene Rodeman.
Thank you, Chair Devlin and members. My name is Gene Redman. I reside at 29515 Southwest Teton Way in Wilsonville. I'll try to just take some captions from my statement. You have it. I've been following this this concern and debate since 1995. My family and I have lived in our residence for 10 years. And you may recall that a former state representative suggested Danish be converted to a juvenile correction site in 1995. When the former House Judiciary Committee's Juvenile Justice Subcommittee heard the legislative proposal in 95 to convert Danish for correctional purposes, then State Representative Kate Brown, who now is a senator and minority leader in the Senate, responded, quote, "Why site a correctional facility in a residential area with a school close by," end of quote. Her question, which was very appropriate then, and still is today, never was properly answered. Unfortunately, the siting authority in 96 and 97 overrode her concern as well as many in Wilsonville, which didn't have the support of the local jurisdiction for siting at that time, and proceeded to recommend Danish for a new adult correctional facility. It simply is too close to two schools. These have been referenced already, within sight and shouting distance and slingshot distance. The Cristofori School serves preschool through sixth grade students, and that's immediately adjacent to Damish. The Wood Middle School, of course, is a middle school that's about a quarter mile away. Her statement in that report are recorded in the Wilsonville Spokesman, March 29, 1995, of that particular legislative session. Numerous legislators feel that Danish property is unsuitable for a correctional facility. Even Governor Kitzhaber, in his statements to at least two legislative committees this session, acknowledged that Danish should be unsited. The corrections director, David Cook, in his November 24, 1998 letter to the Audit Division and the Prison Construction Program Long-Range Planning and Budgeting Report noted, and I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to peruse this. This was provided to Ways and Means Committee. It contains the following quote: "The remaining facilities will be scheduled as the forecast need is identified. However, with the exception of the Oak Ridge site, which was dropped due to environmental reasons, no other sites will be eliminated, end of quote, as found on page 31 of this report. If Oak Ridge was dropped by the executive branch because of environmental reasons, why can't Damish be dropped? Certainly due to human safety concerns of the nearness for those preschool through eighth grade school children within a shouting distance of Damish. Yesterday I read about in the Salem Statesman Journal a new property site near Donald could be considered for a correctional facility. Even though some say it's too late, I'd suggest better late than never. Perhaps this new suggestion may be worthy of meaningful consideration. But if this doesn't materialize, then I'd suggest the governor and legislators meaningfully collaborate on any other sites, whether it be Day Road, Junction City, or any of the others named, which incidentally can also have two facilities at a site, previously cited or proposed to seek a solution. I'd note that Governor Kitzhaber is a proponent of the use of collaboration in dealing with contentious issues. And this is attached to my cover statement here. These are two pages taken from the website on the so-called Enlibra Doctrine, E-N-L-I-B-R-A, that Governor Kitzhaber and Governor Leavitt from Utah enunciated in the Western Governors Association. It's quite interesting reading. And they proposed about how to deal with resolve contentious issues, environmental issues with the federal government. And one of the key concepts is collaboration. And if you'll read, it says, collaboration, not polarization. Use collaborative processes to break down barriers and find solutions. It may be useful to try to employ this significant policy statement by all of the parties. Even though the time is late, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for coming today. Clark, Stephanie Eichert, and Clark Sendup also, let me come on, please. And as much as you're repeating things we've heard before, please just let us know that you agree with the things we've already been told, and be as succinct as you can. Thank you.
My name is Stephanie Eiser. My address is 10685 Southwest Clay Street. That is, as you know, the northern boundary of the Bay Road property. Am I too quiet? And as I read through the bill, I realized that our property does fall under the definition of adversely affected. And if the prison would be cited at Day Road, I just want to give a little bit of a personal note to this. We have a box full of documents that hold the chronological history of the attempt to site a prison at Day Road. It's full. There's newspaper clippings, contradictory DOT reports, traffic and environmental studies, membership lists from both the 97 and 99 legislative sessions, tax agendas, videotaped campaign promises, and the momentous letter from Governor Kitzhaber, which emphasized that the alternative Day Road property would only be considered if it had regional cooperation and community support. No one in this room would dare to claim that the respective communities are in agreement on this issue. As I filtered through the volumes of information, I realized that we learned a lot from this process, more than we could have learned from any civics class. More about realism, frustration, uncertainty, integrity, and tenacity. Realism that even when the best intentions are involved, they don't necessarily produce the desired outcome. Frustration when others seem to feel no guilt about condemning properties. It's not something that I can identify with. Uncertainty about how to proceed in in the political process is new to us. Integrity, learning to debate facts, trying to eliminate emotions. Obviously, I haven't done well at the emotion part, but treating others the way you'd like to be treated. Tenacity, that if you're persistent in describing the people, the property, and the situation involved, eventually the message is heard and by the people who hold our future in their hand. I understand a city planning for the land that it owns, even for the land within their urban growth boundaries. Half of the property at Bay Road is only contingently within the urban growth boundary, and it would only be in Wilsonville's growth boundary if the Bay Road is chosen for a prison site. It's my last statement is to encourage you to continue to seek other solutions and not condemn the homes at Bay Road. There's no more room in the file box for more discussion on that. Thank you.
Thank you for coming today. I appreciate the fight you folks have been through very much. And I know the courage that it takes to come forward and represent the things that you feel very strongly about. Thank you for coming. Clark?
Chair Simmons, committee members, I'll be brief. I know it's been a long day. My name is Clark Iser, and I live at 10685 Southwest Clay Street, which is the northern boundary of the proposed Bay Road site. The ORPS line suggests their callers phone and write the Rules Committee members to assure that there is indeed support in Wilsonville for a prison at Bay Road. I'm here to tell you that there is virtually no support from those of us that live in the Bay Road area for a prison in our neighborhood. Sure, there are property owners that would love to make extraordinary profits from the sale of their property or the windfall that they would receive from the rezoning of their land, but most do not live on the property. They will simply take the money and run at the cost of those who do and will continue to live in this area. Wilsonville is here to put a square peg in a round hole. They will tell you that this makes the best land use sense and that the prison is compatible with the surrounding property. I have several pictures in front of you that show my neighbor's property, which are directly adjacent to and in the near vicinity of the site. You can see that these houses and farms are not industrial sites. They are someone's home. These people should not have to unwillingly give up their property when alternatives exist. Wilsonville's failure to plan for future water requirements does not warrant siting a prison where it does not belong, nor does it magically make Bay Road an acceptable site. There are other options that can site this prison where it does not require condemnation, but instead places it where it is wanted, needed, and compatible with its surroundings. Please do not give up on these alternatives. Please keep looking. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Just me? Well, thank you for coming today. Eric Gilman. Eric Gilman.
My name is Dennis Gilman. I live at 10908 Southwest Rowland Court in Wilsonville. And I have just a couple things to say. I've got a friend of mine who's a works for the corrections department. And actually, he's an officer in the corrections department who bet me money before the siting process started that this prison would be built at Damage. It was absolutely common knowledge within the prison system that Damage was not only going to be sited, but it would be the place where the prison was to be built. That's before the neutral siting committee, who had their meetings all around the state and were
I spent 2 days at the Wilsonville High School listening to testimony, two full long, hot days, listening to testimony, the last one of which we supplied them with literally wheelbarrows full of data, testimony, evidence, literally wheelbarrows full, and it took them 3 hours to make the decision that Damish was where they were going to recommend to the governor that this prison would be sited at. So I've got to say, and I hate to say I'm pro either of the sites, I'll make my feelings known later, but I've got to say that there are people that say that they didn't have a proper public hearing, and I submit to you that the people in Wilsonville around the Damish area didn't get a proper hearing also. I firmly believe that Damish was picked long before the five people picked it, and that is my feeling. The best word I heard was during the 3 hours of needing to decide where they were going to site this 100-year prison, one of the people said, "We've got to hurry this up because I've got a wedding to go to." And that's the type of consideration I feel that Damish was given during the siting process. Now it's about 3 years later, and here we are. I don't want to go into the last 3 years with you guys. And ladies, you guys know what's happened. It's been somewhere between a cross between a nightmare and a bad dream. The ups and downs of them putting in and not putting in, putting and not putting, putting in a committee, changing the committee at the last minute, has been a nightmare. And to the residents of that area, and here we are again. You need to decide whether to site this prison in an area and a community that doesn't want it. Or you get to pick whether or not you're going to site this prison in a community that doesn't want it. You guys got a great decision. Because half the people in this room are going to hate you like an NBA ref. Whatever you do is going to be a bad decision for people in this room. And that's a heck of a position you guys are in. I'm not talking about governments. I'm not talking about cities. I'm not talking about caps, or I'm talking about communities. I live in a cul-de-sac. We were even written up in the Oregonian a couple months ago as a perfect cul-de-sac because they did an article on cul-de-sacs. We had parties where we set up tables in the center of our community, and we had, just last weekend, we had a picnic for everybody in our community. Well, our community is going to be ripped apart if that prison is put at Damish. Nobody wants this prison in Wilsonville except Governor John Fitzgerald. I know that comments have been made about the siting committee and comments have been made, but nobody truly wants this prison in Wilsonville. And I don't know what he's got against the citizenry of the city of Wilsonville. If he wants to put this prison in the Portland area, put it in the Portland area. Wilsonville's not in the Portland area. I just drove down here, guys, and I'm sure one of you or two of you have driven between here and Portland. There's lots of land out there that's not going to affect the great community of Tualatin, Sherwood, or Wilsonville, but it is going to affect somebody because you've got to take a plot of land, you've got to clear it off, you've got to put fences up, and you've got to put a prison in there. So what are you going to do? You have got to make your decision based on what's the least amount of people going to be affected. Your decision is who are you going to hurt. There's no winner here. You've got to make your decision on who's going to be the least amount of people affected. And that has to, if it comes down to those two sites, it comes down to the Wilsonville site in Damish or outside the Wilsonville city limits, outside of the Tualatin and the Sherwood city limits, but between the three cities, if that's your choice, Bay Road or Damish, you have to put it at Bay Road because it affects the least amount of people. And if I lived at Bay Road, I'd be back here glaring at the back of my head like you wouldn't believe. I would be as angry as they are. But your decision has to affect the least amount of people if your decision is that narrow. And that's my tip.
Any questions? Thank you for coming today. Steve Shoup. Next up will be Steven Peterson.
Chair, my name is Steve Shoup. I reside at 10475 Southwest Helenius, which is just on the corner of Grahams Ferry Road, about 5/10 of a mile north of the site. Might I ask the chair a question? I know this is I've never been to a hearing like this, but if you have a committee hearing, how do we have a committee hearing when the committee's not here?
Everything that is in, that is brought on goes into the record.
Okay.
And
I can probably help with that too, Mr. Chairman. The unfortunate fact is that some of us are on other committees as well as called to the floor, and it's always helpful when people submit written testimony as well as verbal. For instance, all day I've been reading these. And a lot of people get information to us ahead of time. I've received over 200 letters, all of which I've read, about both the damage site and the day road site. And for instance, I received maps this morning, which I've been looking at all day. But unfortunately, because of the press of business, we're in and out of the room because people call us out that we're supposed to have appointments to see us, and then the committee got set, so we have to go out there and talk to them in the hallway. And so it becomes a bit of a procedural nightmare. But the totality of this is shared by the committee, too. We talk back and forth about all the information we receive. And since you're new to the process, I thought you deserved that explanation, because I almost felt like saying, you know, Mr. Chairman, it's important for people to know that all these folks' letters are being read and we're trying to assimilate information. Not that any one of us will get all the information this way, but we're trying to assimilate it as best we can.
Thank you. That helps. Thank you. I'll try to be brief also. I'm going to start the end for what I was going to close with. It's applicable to things that were just recently said. Oregonian recently, I read that the governor does have the authority to begin construction at Damish. Without constructive legislative action, it's his only option. Now, it's my understanding, and I've read everything there's possibly has come out on this. Now, that is either flat-out wrong or it isn't. And I would submit that the vast majority of people supporting Bay Road, Wilsonville residents, believe that to be true. Now, is there a way, Mr. Chair, for you to say in this hearing to tell these people either that's true or it isn't? And I'll quickly move on.
Isn't that one?
Well, I've been making some inquiries about that very issue. And it is true that the site has, of course, been legally sited. It is also true that the E-Board gave the governor authority to issue, or the state to issue, certificate of participation bonds for either Damish or an alternative site. Also, in addition to that, those authorities, because our bond limitation authority or our debt limitation authority is tied to statute. The bill that does that expires June 30th. So the governor's authority to issue those bonds expires June 30th. I have asked the treasurer's office whether or not the governor could still issue the bonds. Their response has been no, he could not, because he would have to issue them in, the actual issuance would have to occur prior to June 30th. I have a letter from them that I'll later put into the record saying it will take the Treasury 60 days to issue those bonds. Now, to proceed on damage, he will need budget authority or new authority to issue COTs. That's my understanding.
Thank you, Representative Devlin. Am I to interpret that therefore the governor has a reason but not his only option?
It's not his only option.
So the Oregonian was wrong?
The Oregonian's been wrong before.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll quickly move on. When looking to site a facility such as a prison, it is only logical to use common sense along with information and science. Prioritizing all impacts, effects, and concerns will be crucial. I don't believe I have ever heard or read any such list. I believe the first mistake in this long series of mistakes was giving one person, the governor, the power to establish the criteria for siting. This enabled one person to alter what would be a common sense list of priorities. I failed to see why the legislature didn't establish the siting committee themselves instead of passing it off to the governor. It would have removed the possibility of one person making a mistake. The biggest obstacle to satisfying all concerns has been the county line. The county line has no business being the primary criterion for siting a state facility. I would suggest it has no business being on the list at all. A general area of the state may have been a preference, but establishing a meaningless county line, county lines as a guide, resulted in crippling the process from the beginning. Example, suppose a siting committee was reviewing maps or flying over an area, or even touring an area on the ground. They may be looking at a variety of aspects while questioning the plausibility of a particular site. There may appear to be a concern of one kind or another on a particular site, and a minor adjustment might satisfy all concerns. A committee member or staff might, for instance, make an observation that shifting a particular site would solve all the problems. This area over here looks like it would really work. Then all of a sudden, wham, no, we can't do that. We just crossed the county line as if it were a state line. The site could be in the preferred area and satisfy all concerns, but it just got disqualified over a truly meaningless line. The next big mistake was siting damage. The most significant problem there, just like Day Road, is that the prison would redefine the area around the prison. Both of these sites have established communities adjacent to them and would be greatly impacted by such a siting. Although Wilsonville is somewhat further along in defining the damaged area, the Day Road area is not far behind. With the effect of metro and urban growth boundaries, both communities are looking to their areas for growth. Either currently inside the urban growth boundary or in the reserves, or likely be doing included in the reserves in the near future, these areas are still needed. Whatever the case may be, they are the most logical and likely areas for growth. In Tualatin, for example, within 0.6 mile, there are 2 approved subdivisions. One is next to me, owned by J.C. Reeves. The other behind me, I can't remember the developers. They are approved subdivisions involving some 50 new homes, and there is currently an application process, another 10 or 20 acres behind them, incorporating maybe another, who knows, 150 homes. So there's residential areas within, certainly my house is 0.6 mile. In addition to that, Metro has just recently expanded the urban growth boundary as part of their last session, a 10-acre parcel within 0.5 mile. This is for a continued subdivision adjacent to Victoria Woods. This whole area between Day Site and the current 12 city limits, 0.5 mile, and it's not obstructed by terrain or topographical items. It's just a flat, straight road. It has a minor rise and a dip, but the premise that it's some kind of geographical or topographical divide is not true. This whole area between Dave Site and the Fallen City Limits is expanding and will be needed for community growth for good reasons. Of course, the availability of land is limited by the urban growth boundary. But with that set aside, let's look at the general area. First and foremost, I would like everyone to consider Tualatin High School. With the addition of the Performing Arts Center and swimming pool, it has become one of the top high school campuses in the nation. Is it not natural, then, to want it surrounded by a fine community? Will people not want to live close to the school? Should the local community not be allowed to define the area around such a fabulous campus? Should there not be nice neighborhoods and parks planned for areas of this kind? Or should a prison be plopped down next to it because that's the best you can do? Even closer to the Day Road site is a Sherwood School District property for a future school. Although there have been school district boundary changes in the area recently, the likelihood is that one district or the other will need that site for a school. Are we to decide now that that future school will be adjacent to an area defined by a prison? Again, because that's the best you can do? With Metro gentrifying the suburbs, and you considering injecting a prison, this suburb is needlessly at risk. Again, because is this the best you can do? The damaged site was a result of a terribly flawed process and never should have been considered. I suggest it never would have if the county line criterion was not in place. The Day Road site is simply a result of a rushed attempt to avoid the damaged site, regardless of prior statements. You've heard statements such as, Wilsonville is willing to host the Day Road site. Well, it's not in Wilsonville. One of the ORF's founders, 20 minutes ago, said that he was opposed to the notion that it needed to be in the metropolitan area. and yet he said that wasn't necessarily the only reason for supporting Day to divert away from damage. You cannot justify the damage site, and it is my understanding that you have concluded the same. You cannot justify the Day Road site just because it avoids damage. I understand that some of you are Republicans and some of you are Democrats, and I understand the politics involved. But I do not understand the tremendous effort to site this prison where it has no business being. I cannot see how anyone will be harmed if both these sites are disqualified. The governor may be embarrassed, but where does his embarrassment fall on the list of priorities? I would ask you to read between the lines and see that there is no real support for Day Road, any more than their support for damage. I got involved and voiced my opposition to damage way back when that site first got brought up. I called the people involved in it. I visited a open house put on by the Department of Corrections, Metro, and the other agencies in the City Hall down there, even after the Day Road issue got brought up. And one of my main concerns that fired me up was I was talking to a man from the Department of Corrections, and I asked him about the government's position regarding mandatory sentencing, building a prison, and mandatory work for inmates. I voiced my understanding of what the governor's position was, that he was opposed to all three of those, and the corrections officer, or representative, said they were in full agreement. I then asked him what were the intentions if the prison was built at Damish or Day Road regarding work release. I said, is it not the intention of the governor and the corrections department to extremely expand the work release program in that community? And in front of 20 people, after pressing and pressing, he finally admitted yes. That's the governor's intention, is to expand the work release program in that community. I asked him, well, does the work release program represent a problem for the community? He said, well, with every work release program, there's always a percentage or degree of problems that occur, whether they be failure to return, commission of crimes while they're out, and a whole litany of things. I said, so then if you're going to dramatically increase the work release program, wouldn't it be safe to assume there'd be a dramatic increase in occurrences of those problems? And he wiggled a little bit, and he said, well, yes. So I think that the notion that the concern over safety and issues like that, that has been framed as paranoia, that the impact of prison is next to nothing, I don't think that's totally true. And I'll wrap up now and take any questions, but really the clear picture here is neither one of the places are adequate. And without the county line, we wouldn't be here right now. I suggested that Donald exit over maybe a year and a half ago in gatherings. And you would think that the legislature could help us get it there.
Thank you, Steve, for Mr. Schott for coming in today.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, just a minute.
I do need to clarify one point. There's a difference between prison work programs and work release programs. The work release programs are transitional programs that are developed usually in the context of a very minimum security institution, such as the prison farm, and actually we don't even do that over there anymore. There used to be programs, and there still are, work by the counties where you report in the evening, you stay overnight, and you're released during the day for work. But the prison work under Measure 17 is not covered by that. It's in-custody work, and the only prison work crews that are allowed out are crews who are under the supervision of a corrections officer, usually on a ratio of 10 crew members per officer. So they may have been talking apples and oranges when they talk about work release. Those are different concepts, and I just thought I'd just clarify that.
Chair Simmons, Representative Max, the discussion I had with the representative from the corrections, we were discussing both those classifications. Or
all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Peterson. as much as you can.
Say again?
As much as you can be as succinct.
I will be very succinct. Chair Simmons and other representatives, I want to support moving the prison from Damish to Dayrode. I'm kind of nervous.
Okay.
I wanted to just emphasize a couple of the quick points that others have already made, because I don't hear anything new today. I think it's extremely important that we keep the prison as far away as possible from schools. The Damish site is adjacent to schools and very close to schools. The Dayrode site is over a mile from schools, and I clocked it today. I think it's important that we keep our word when the government says to Wilsonville that they won't use it for certain things. They have to not use it for certain things. They've had plans for that site for a long time, and I think it's important that we not take it and ruin those. I'm concerned about the thought that people are saying here that we can just wait and wait and wait and wait. It's been 2.5 years with Wilsonville citizens calling in constantly. It's time to make a decision, and the Damish site cannot be that decision. We have to decide to unsite that no matter what else we do. Now, I'm not opposed to putting it at Donald or somewhere else, but I am opposed strongly to leaving it sited at Damish while we think about it. And if the only way to get it undone, if the only way the governor will agree to is to put it at Dayrode, then I am strongly in favor of putting it at Dayrode as a much better site than Damish. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much for coming. Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Dan Willis. And Ryan Willis, is that it?
Maybe.
I will come up with you.
Chair Simmons and representatives of the committee, members of the committee, I was intrigued, if I may, by the previous question by Mr. Schopp and your response, Vice Chairman Devlin, about the COPs and the expiration of the authority to fund us. I have spoken with bond counsel myself, and the answer that I received was that the bonds themselves do not have to be issued by the end of June, but only the paperwork has to be submitted. And that was not a 60-day process, but only a 2-day process. Now, obviously, one of those is correct and one of those is not correct. And I would really like to pose that question to the committee, that is there a way that a definitive answer could be received and published, and maybe is the definitive authority the state treasurer's office? And if that's the case,
Mr. Chairman,
Devlin.
I think the state treasurer's office would be the definitive authority in this particular case, since they would be the party participating in the issuance of the bond. If staff would like to give this to the witness, it would be fine with me.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I also think it's important to note that a number of us are pressing the legislature to specifically address this issue one way or another to get beyond leaving questions on the table. That is, we have to take responsibility for getting a decision and get it over with one way or another, even if that means specifying several options. Whatever that means, whatever the decision is, but it has to be decided this session, and it has to be finally decided not to carry on beyond the session. And because while we are in session, any legal issues as to statutes can still be addressed by the legislature by changing statutes. Once we're out of session, the emergency board has very limited authority about what it can do. And for us, the real question is, given today's circumstances, without looking at a looming deadline of June 30th, just given today's circumstances, which include a who knows when pending expiration of the session, what's the best thing to do? And there's also a couple of other givens, one of which is Governor Kitzhaber has to sign whatever bill is passed. A number of us, including myself, have voted for the Nemecola site and found that that was vetoed and haven't been able to get the votes to override that veto. So, and we have a governor now who insists that it must be what he calls the Portland metro area, his definition. I've noted earlier that that's not a statutory requirement, that's a John Kitzhaber requirement. And then we look back to what can we get to accommodate within that area, what are the options, is Donald Site is being discussed as an option. Some of us asked, what about Junction City? Well, apparently that doesn't quite fit the stretched definition of the Portland Metro. These are all the things that we're dealing with, but we're here today, too, to particularly hear about your concerns about the sites under consideration. Try to bring that into this hash that we're dealing with.
Thank you. And if I may ask one more question to the Vice Chairman, I read this for those of you who don't have it in front of them. It says, quote, under normal circumstances, it takes Treasury approximately 60 days to actually get into the market with the COPs. For the last 2.5 years, one thing that I have learned is that nothing about this has been normal. And I don't think, to me, this gives me no sense of security or definitive. So that's the question I asked.
Mr. Chairman, I followed up on almost practically all of these questions. I had the Treasury office call. I assume it was their bond counsel to clarify how long it would take. They are the ones that did say it would take 60 days. There have been representations that it could be done to other committees in as little as, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. But the reality is the authority runs out June 30th, which is not very long from now. And I checked with Mr. Stinson in Legislative Fiscal, and he's clearly indicated to me that that authority is that they have to be issued, meaning they have to be sold, not that the process has started. And that affects all the bond limits or debt limitations of the state that were authorized by the previous legislature. So, quite honestly, the governor's out of time.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Lewis?
Thank you. It does. If I can make a few more points. First of all, it appears to me that the city of Wilsonville has been selected as the host jurisdiction for this facility by both the executive and the legislative branches of our state government. The latter was done in the emergency board in January of 1998 when the funding was approved for a prison facility, quote, at Damish or a site in or adjacent to the Wilsonville Urban Reserve, end of quote. So my understanding is the funding was jurisdiction specific but not site specific. I find it hard to believe that some are saying that the Day Road site is not in Wilsonville's jurisdiction. A year ago to this very day, I sat in the room with the Metro Regional Council, where they unanimously approved the expansion of Urban Reserve 42 to include all the property in the Day Road site when it becomes the site of the facility. This expanded Urban Reserve is contiguous to the city of Wilsonville and to Wilsonville alone. It's contiguous to no other city, and as you know, urban reserves are designed to be annexed into their contiguous host jurisdictions, and Urban Reserve 42 is no exception. So it's currently under the jurisdiction of Wilsonville and will always be under the jurisdiction of Wilsonville, and to say that this site is not a part of the Wilsonville jurisdiction, I believe, is simply inaccurate. The prison will have a Wilsonville address. The infrastructure will be paid for by the increased taxes of Wilsonville residents. It will receive various Wilsonville services. It's our city that will be the host. Now, if I were asked to host a party for a group of friends, that would neither be out of the ordinary nor would it be unreasonable, and I would accept. However, if that same group demanded that the party be held in my bedroom, obviously against my wishes, I would resist. I would resist strongly. Not because I'm unwilling to host the party, it's because it's inappropriate to host a party in my bedroom, and I'm unwilling to host it there. As a resident of Wilsonville, I will be one of the hosts of this facility. I will be required to help pay for it. I will be required to share my city services with it, and I am willing to host it, provided it's located in the appropriate place in my community. That appropriate place within my community is the Day Road site. I support this prison if it's at that location. The Day Road site makes land use sense, whereas a site in the Damish neighborhood does not. The Day Road site lets Wilsonville keep its residential land uses, including schools in its residential areas, and industrial land uses like this prison in industrial areas. Our bedroom is the Damish neighborhood. My children go to school there. Over 2,000 children go to school there. It's a residential neighborhood of over 350 homes that abuts the property. It's our community's bedroom. And though we're willing to host this prison in the right place, we will forever resist being forced to host it in our bedroom. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Ryan?
Good afternoon. My name is Ryan Willis, and I am a supporter of keeping prisons away from schools. I recently graduated from the 8th grade at Wood Middle School, which is less than 600 yards away from the damaged prison site. Damage was chosen as a site for a prison when I was in 6th grade at Wood Middle School, and it has overshadowed all my middle school years. The kids at that school are concerned about this site. Some have talked about it in the hall during passing times. My classmates and I have been to numerous hearings and rallies to show opposition to the prison at this site. My brother will be attending Wood Middle School next year, and I don't want him to have to think about going to school 600 yards away from criminals. I don't want him and all the other students to look out of their classroom windows and see a prison. There's another place in our community that makes sense for a prison. It is the Day Road site, which is over a mile from the nearest school. There will be no kids in any community that will have to look at it from their classrooms. We will support a prison in our community, but please put it in the right location. The right location is over a mile from any school, and that is the Day Road site. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming today. Boz Wiedemann.
Chairman Simmons, I'll try not to go over anything to excess here. I just have a very, very short statement. My name is Buzz Wiedemann. I own property at 25450 Southwest Garden Acres Road. That's within about a quarter of a mile of the Day Road site. I bought this property in 1986 and have operated a business on it since that time. I'm testifying today in favor of the Day Road location, not just because I think it's the lesser of the evils, but I think it stands as a good site on its own merits. I've grown up in the Wilsonville Fulton communities, lived there all my life. It was obvious to me when I bought this property 12 years ago that it was a natural extension of the industrial area at the north end of Wilsonville. And in fact, during those years, we've seen more and more industrial uses come into that vicinity. It hosts a garbage transfer station, trucking operation. There's quarry operations with truck traffic that goes down Day Road. Asphalt plant. There's a number of industrial uses, and it seems strange to me that other people have claimed not to be able to see that industrialization coming over the last several years. If we bring prison to that area, it'll bring with it infrastructure and coherence to that area that'll allow it to develop in a fairly short period of time to its highest and best use. That's consistent with the plans that Metro has for it. They've designated that to be a likely industrial area, Urban Reserve 42. And one of relatively few industrial areas they do plan to develop in this round of expansion. So to say that those jobs aren't needed isn't true. It is an important part of the overall plan for the region. So I just want to make sure that I got the message to you that there are people, residents and property owners in that vicinity that strongly support the prison.
Okay, thank you very much. And he put it up, you might have it right near the Day Road side.
It's within a quarter mile, yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman? Representative Mannix?
You've tempted me to make the observation that, which I've not made throughout this process, that I probably live closer to a prison than anybody in this room or in this Capitol building, because I live about 12 blocks from State Penitentiary. My office is 10 blocks from the State Penitentiary. That doesn't mean that I've overlooked the fact that there's tremendous impact on the community, but there are positives as well as negatives. One of the positives that we're doing right now in Salem with the state penitentiary is converting the east end of that campus into soccer playing field, because it's been kept as open territory. And I'm just mentioning this as, over time, the state prison system is not like it was 20 years ago or 10 years ago. They're trying to be good neighbors. They're connecting up with the community, and we've seen that happening in Salem. As a representative for five terms, I've represented the district that has the highest concentration of prisons and prison inmates. And yet I have to say quickly, Salem, too, said at some point they were too full up. You can't put every prison in one place without overwhelming a community. If there's some balance, if we did do things intelligently, we can try to be a plus, more of a plus than a minus. But we've also heard from the folks who are losing or potentially losing their homes to a prison. There is no way that they can feel good about that, and there's no way we can feel good about that if that happens. There are other sites that we've looked at where people are willingly trying to sell their property. It's just unfortunate that we've been pushed in this direction, and I guess I better stop, but I'm just kind of sharing some reaction to this. I'm very disappointed that while I think Bay Road may be positive from some folks' perspective, it's negative from others. Umatilla was a site that about the only person in my view who didn't like it was the governor. I'm upset about that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel better.
I'm glad you're here, Governor. Representative. I didn't mean to suggest that I don't respect the positions of those people that are opposed. I'm certain they have every right to their feelings.
No, I understand that.
Thank you for coming. Jeff Wilson.
Got in time to have everybody. Too much time. I'm glad a couple of you stuck around.
Well, we've probably mellowed out the most, so we're probably the most receptive.
So well, my name is truth to that. It's been a long day.
My name is Jeff Wilson. I live at 7081 Southwest Glenwood Court in Wilsonville. This is my first time up here, so I didn't know I was supposed to bring a stack of papers, and I'm really into saving trees anyway. So if you want, I'd be happy to email you my statement. But I happen to live on the other side.
And when I talked about the letters before, that's not a requirement. There's a lot of people do that in addition.
Good. But we do have a rule about written testimony. If you're going to present testimony, you need 25 copies. Then the staff each get one, and we each get one, and they're planning to go around that way. But as you've noticed, perhaps not everyone has provided written testimony.
Okay.
But if you want to just give us some verbal testimony, that will work also.
All right, I'll just give you some verbal.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. 10 minutes.
I think I now know where every single computer terminal is located in Wilsonville and Tualatin. At least based on only by their email sites.
Well, that's good to see that an issue like this brings community involvement, I guess. I happen to live on the other side of Wilsonville. And quite frankly, both sites, they're about equal distance from my house. So one would be a good question of why I spent hundreds of dollars of my own money, many hours making phone calls, passing out pamphlets, even taking time off work today on a Friday when I probably should be there to come down here and present this to you. And really what I've done is a drop in the bucket to many people and to what others have put in. But, every time I go home, I see the reason why I'm doing this. I go home and I look at my kids, and just to give you history, I had one son graduate this year from Wood. I had another son start this year at Wood Middle School. And I'm going to have my daughter attending in a few years Wood Middle School. And, it brings home why I'm fighting. For the state government to protect the care so much about kids and the education of kids, why we would put a prison next to a school is beyond me. My mother happens to be a school teacher, and it baffles her to see why state government would introduce an additional distraction to all the other distractions that our kids have to face to get a good education. The fact that they can look out and they know that a prison is just right there is a distraction to young people. We talked a little bit about the politics involved, and
I tell you, this one thing this has done is it's given my family an opportunity to talk about politics. And quite frankly, it hasn't been very positive because my kids ask, why would they be doing this to us? And I'm not, you know, many people know the reason why we're here. The one point that I'll bring up in respect to the people that live next to Day Road is it does provide the necessary buffer between the children and the school. Okay? I think everybody in this room, hopefully everybody in this room would agree that damage is not a good place. Now, I'm not telling you how you guys do your politicking because you guys do it way better than I could ever probably imagine to do.
You might be surprised.
But there's a way out of this. And I don't care if you put, you know, the verbiage in there, the fact that it can be Day Road, or, as somebody mentioned today, the community of Donald. Now, of course, I'm sure the Donald people probably would have some reasons for concern as well. But the one thing that's got to happen this session is the fact that damn, she's got to be unseated and unsighted. It's almost like we're taking a chance. We're like Las Vegas rolling dice with the lives of the kids in Wilsonville and the ones who are going to be attending Wood Middle School. They're going to have to be, if we're betting that the governor's going to change his mind. I just hope that you would, if this doesn't get out of committee, I would hope that each of you would write to my kids and explain to them kind of how you voted and the reasons why. And at least then I could explain to them that, hey, you know, your dad went down and he did the best that he could. Because it just makes no sense to have a school next to a prison. Or build a prison next to an existing school. That's all I want to say. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I can assure you of a couple of things. At least the two representatives that are in this room are convinced that we must come to closure one way or another during this session with finality. And we have to make a decision, not just fluff it off. The decision may include some limited options for the governor, but we also must do something that is within the universe of things that the governor will agree to, because we can't have another post-session veto, which gets us back to square one and leaves the present law in place that says the site is a bench. I can also tell you personally, I can't speak for anyone else, that I've said for a long time now that whatever else is decided, damage is the wrong place to build an intake center and a women's prison. And I've heard nothing and read nothing in the last couple of weeks to change that. I'll stop there because there are other options to be discussed. Where do you go from here? But we're trying real hard to come to closure. And it, by the way, there's also a TV camera back there. If people are wondering, some of us also have TV monitors in our office, and when we have to go off to do meetings and stuff, we keep them on, and we're able to hear the testimony as we're still in our offices. Just as a further point, we're all live on TV right now. And I do appreciate the folks that have come in. This is not an easy process for you. We would love to not have to do something, but Representative Simmons and I know that we have to do something, and it's got to be done soon.
I appreciate that.
The uncertainty of all this is almost more difficult to deal with, I would think, than having a final decision made. As long as it's up in the air, it's still up in the air, and you really don't know for sure what's going to happen. But I will assure you that I am taking every effort to make sure we proceed in as thoughtful a manner as we possibly can, and that we do take steps to bring this to closure this session so we can wrap this up.
Can I give you my opinion of what you know? Help me educate me a little bit here, so if I come here again, I'll know. I'm supposed to say Chairman Simmons?
Yes.
Okay. Chairman Simmons, I agree that the uncertainty is not a good situation. But I'll tell you one thing that's much worse than the uncertainty is if they cite that prison. I was going to say something else, but I figured that I was probably in here, so maybe it's best I didn't say. Cite that prison on the damaged property where it's right next to schools. That's the worst thing that can happen.
I appreciate that. And thank you for bringing that message to us today. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, that concludes the list of folks who have signed up to testify today. And thank you all for coming down. And we will proceed with our duties and hopefully come to some kind of decision next week. Thank you very much. With that, we will adjourn.